Well, hello, Noel Davidson, Water of Life Ministries, Plano, Texas. We're back for another 50 minutes. We're going to read, have Kathy read the third chapter of 1 Thessalonians, and then we're going to talk, we're going to share another miracle that God did on an Arabian stallion, nearly 40 years ago. And God wants me to share these. They're helping me, but they'll help you. I was sharing this earlier, as I was at a meeting once, teaching, preaching, and praying, and I shared about God healing a horse, and there's a lady sitting there and said, well, God heal a horse, he'll heal me. I said, you got it right. He'll heal anything. God loves what he created. You know that? If he loves it, he'll fix it. Amen. If it needs it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, Kathy D.
Verse 13. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. 2. And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we would suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints.
Thank you. That 10th verse talks about perfecting that which is lacking in their faith. And that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm up to. You notice the church needs apostles. The Apostle Paul wrote this epistle or had it written, I'm not sure. But he stayed in Athens and sent Timothy, or Timotheus, same person. Paul wanted to know about their faith. He wanted to know if the tempter had tempted them and they'd left their faith. If you, when you're reading or listening or reading this letter to the church at Thessalonica, if you pay attention, God will open your eyes and heart, you'll see. In verse 5 of the first chapter, the Apostle Paul said his gospel came not to the Thessalonians in word only, but power. Power. That if you let God open your heart and eyes as you read on, you will see that with this power, with the gospel, with the power, there were tribulations. Tribulations with Paul and with Timotheus. They were in great tribulation. Why? There was a great contest against them. They didn't want them. The devil didn't want them preaching the gospel with power. You can teach a letter. Anybody can do that. Good Lord, sound like a real brilliant intellectual. You start preaching power, you may not sound so brilliant. You may not even speak well. The devil will come after you. The devil's in the people. They hate you. I'm talking about hate me. They hated Paul. You go on, though, Paul, he had a love for that people. He wanted to know how they were doing, how their faith was doing. He wanted to perfect their faith. Now, let me show you, back up, the word with power, the gospel with power, faith, tribulations. They had faith. Paul had faith. Timothy had faith. It takes faith to minister the gospel. And it takes faith mixed with the gospel for the recipient, or for you, person hearing it. It takes faith. Mix it with the gospel. And not only that, but myself, I have to have faith to impart unto you spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. And with those spiritual gifts that I impart, you have to mix your faith with mine and receive those gifts, and those spiritual gifts will establish you. And you know what it says in Romans chapter 1, I think it's verse 11, and both of us will be comforted. Well, you know, it's comforting to know that you're being established. Do you think I would get any comfort out of just standing up teaching? Not a bit. I'd rather be fishing. If I can't impart spiritual gifts, faith that's lacking, being perfected, if I can't do that, I don't like what, I don't want to do it. I don't have any desire to stand up and get 100,000 people clapping their hands and yelling like a bunch of idiots over nothing. You know that? I don't want to hear it. No way do I want to hear that kind of stuff. I want to know when Jesus does a miracle, when the Father, working the Holy Spirit through me, heals somebody or casts a devil out of them or raises the dead or cleanses the leper. I want the people that are around to see what God did, what great power that God demonstrated. That's all I'm on this earth for. I wouldn't want to be here otherwise, but to minister this gospel with power and perfect your faith and establish you in the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of my friends in Harare, Zimbabwe, that are receiving this by live stream, I know your faith. I've been there in 1985, spent 14 days there, ministered to you, sent a lot of tapes and books to you. And I know your faith, and I know this power coming through live stream will touch you wherever you're sitting, and you'll be healed, and the devils will come out of you. That's what I know. America, it'll happen to you too if you'll humble yourself. But you've heard me for 30 years, and most of you've laughed at what I've had to say. But not all laughed. I've got fruit all over America. Fruit all over America. Oh, they're scattered, but I've got fruit. Thank God. And they have fruit. They have fruit in their account by giving money to my ministry. I don't ask for money. I don't have to. I don't tell anybody I need money because I don't. That tripped you, didn't it? My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So I don't need money. He's always got it there for me. Now, most of you have heard me know that I was once a veterinarian, and I did a lot of horse practice in the United States. Last hour, we talked about a miracle where God delivered a foal, and a brood mare that was in labor a thoroughbred mare from Fort Worth, Texas. And the foal could not come forward. And they called me. And I worked for 30 minutes or more. And I was exhausted. It's a lot of work delivering a baby. And there, you got four legs, one long neck, one long head connected to a body. I know. Most mothers wouldn't like for me to describe their children. And I didn't. But when they are not presented properly, they're difficult to get out. And I shared it, you'll have to listen. God did a miracle for me. It was amazing. And it humbled me greatly. I will tell you that. And that's the purpose of miracles. That you might believe. You see a miracle, you are required more to believe God. At least you're going to have to consider. And God, when he started out ministering healing and casting out devils through me, it happened to be on people. But it wasn't long thereafter to where God started ministering to horses. Horses. And dogs. I can remember that. And God put me face to face with his power and my professional ability. No comparison. Don't try it. Actually, it was early in the evening. A client of mine called me over west here, 30, 40 miles, and had an Arabian stallion that had what's commonly known in the horse business as colic, stomach ache, pain. That is a dangerous thing in horses. Many die with that because they have such large capacity in their intestinal tract. Large. A lot of food. No, Lord, I'm not going to say that. I have to repent. I heard a stupid man, a professor, once say, God did a poor job of creating a horse. I didn't want to repeat his stupidity. And God said, tell it. That's what you pay on the university level. You know, Scripture says it's a shame to even talk about what they say. And I thought, Lord, I don't want to say that. Yeah, you do. Tell them what they think of me at universities. Well, he didn't do a poor job creating a horse. They just belong to people that are cursed, and the curses of the man or woman also go over on the animals. Now, I can prove this biblically. That's where I got the knowledge. And by the Spirit of God. So, I think I can move on. I tell you, I fear God. And I don't want to say anything that might hurt God's reputation because he does have one. But when he tells me, I'm going to say it. And there are a lot of fools at universities that profess Christ and hate his works. Amen. John 14:12, verily, verily, I say to you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And that's what I do. Greater works, more of them, not greater in power, but more of them. And I'll say this, and I've got to. This, folks, is health care. This is divine health care, free of charge. And you're going to be hearing a lot from me the days ahead. Now, from 1970 to 2003, I went all over this country teaching and praying for the sick and cast the devils out of people, God's people. But in June of 2003, God sent me to America, to the 48 states on the mainland, with six other people, to pray in every state in the Union. We did that, every state on the mainland. I know we got two more. I can remember where they were out states. That's how young I am. But don't let that bother you. I'm stronger than you are. In the Lord, the power of his might, like I'd take on a bear or a fool or Goliath. And then, the guy sent me there to pray. And since that time, there's been nothing but war against me and my ministry. It's been 10 years. But I've overcome. America has really deteriorated in the past 10 years. Oh, morally, financially, every way you look at it. The wicked have invaded America in a great way, and it's manifesting more and more every day. But now, at this proper time, in the eyes of God, you're going to hear about miracles, healings that God did through this ministry in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And they diminished when I went to pray on the mainland in 48 states. It's hard to talk. The devil hates us. So does American people. They despise it. But now, I expect God's miracles and healings to increase greatly as I share what took place the first 30 years of this ministry. Acts in verse 33. Back to this Arabian stallion. A pretty good horse. They normally don't keep stallions unless they're, well, the best they can, the best they can afford. This horse happened to be a pretty good one. He had the bellyache, he had colic. And I attended him early in the evening, stayed with him, went back and forth, and was with him all night. Could not get him relieved. He finally reached a place where he was just standing there. His belly had no movement whatsoever. I'm talking about no gurgle. If you could hear a little gurgle, you'd be happy if you've been my place. No sounds. And I happened to be one that had a pretty good ear with a stethoscope, and I could locate sounds pretty well. Some wonder about my ear, where I got it. God gave it to me, but I guarantee you I had it fine-tuned listening with a, did I say a stethoscope? Yeah, not a microscope. It's been a long time since I dealt with this. A stethoscope, and I could hear those sounds. And I had a pretty good history of diagnostics. And this horse had no sound. His entire system had shut down. Is amazing. Amazing. His intestinal tract was, for all purposes that you could tell, just dead. He wouldn't eat, he wouldn't drink. He was so depressed. Most horses will die on their feet. They will stand up till they fall over dead. Now some will lie down, but most will stand up. And this horse was just depressed. The people that owned him were really depressed. And the veterinarian wasn't the happiest thing on the farm. That would be me. About 3 o'clock, 3 a.m., the second morning, I'd been up all night the night before, all day. It's 3 a.m. The owner of this horse is standing there with me. Understand, I'd been given every bit of medication that I knew. I had good success normally treating those things. But this one, it was not going to be good. And I was now walking in the Spirit of God, baptized in the Holy Ghost. My reputation among horse people, you know, Doc's got religion on us, but darn, he'll pray for a horse and they'll get well. So don't condemn him too much. We might need him to pray. It's about 3 in the morning, and this Arabian stallion was standing there, the poor guy. And I didn't want the owner to know I prayed for a horse or anybody else. So I put my arms up like this on his back. The poor guy could hardly stand up. Laid my head on my hands and whispered a prayer. God showed great mercy. In about 5 minutes, this horse stood up, looked around, walked over and started eating. I was overpowered. In a little bit, this owner said, "Doc, did you pray for that horse?" I said, "Yes, sir." Oh, you don't know how difficult it was for God to get me out of my shell. The horse lived. Last time I saw the farm, the horse, the owners, he was still alive. God did those things to deal with my pride. He also did those things to perfect my faith, to increase my faith. Kathy said that she heard me say that God worked for 3 years with me praying for horses to get them healed before I went into much praying for people. Well, I was praying for both, but I'll tell you what. God did some work in my heart on those horses. He perfected my faith, or he improved it. I was standing by a horse once, and I laid my hands on this horse's neck. On the left side, that's the side I always approach the horse from, for those of you that wonder. And I put my hand up on this old boy's neck. He wasn't old, he's a young horse. And I started praying for him. Oh, God's doing some work in my heart right now. And as I prayed for this horse, my hand there, that horse turned and looked at me. Yeah. You know, he felt the power of God. I said, hey, this is good. That helped my faith. When I prayed, get ready. This thing's going to get well. Not every time. I did a small piece of surgery on a dog once for a man. And there was no reason for that dog to die. None. I just was an efficient veterinarian. If you can handle that, and if you can't, well, God will take care of your unbelief. I just didn't have a lot of problems that other professional people had because of their carelessness. And this dog died quickly. And I hated to call this man, but I did. I said, sir, your dog passed on. He said, I want to come pick it up, pick his carcass up. I said, I'd want you to. You know, that was God. And I had no idea what the guy would say to me. But you know what? When he got there, he said, Doc, I have to tell you something. I've never owned a dog that didn't die a tragic death. Well, there wasn't anything tragic about this one. Tragedy to him. But you know what God was saying to me? That man's cursed, and his dog has got his curses on him. Didn't mean to practice a little veterinary medicine, but in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says, the spirit of a man and the spirit of a beast are the same. I think that's verse 18, 19. You might read it and moan and throw a wall-eyed fit, but there's just one breath in a man and a beast. It's the breath of God. What do you say we worship God?